verse that we've been covering pretty thoroughly in the last few weeks and will continue to. It's that familiar sending passage of go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And the mission, the clear mission of the church is to make disciples. And as we make disciples, we are to go, we are to baptize, and we are to teach. And that graphic will be up there for the remainder of our summer as we talk about the church. Just to remind you, at all times, we are here to make disciples as we go, as we baptize, and as we teach. And so, thanks, by the way, to the Ungers for helping out with the, it's called a gobo that shoots that light up there. We're really excited about that. Just one more reinforcement in our heads of what God is doing in our midst and what God has been doing from the very beginning with the church. When we think of living missionally, now remember, that's different than missionary. A missionary is someone that we send to go live missionally in a foreign country. We are living missionally right here in Long Beach or Cyprus or Rossmore or wherever it is that you call home. The world has moved to Southern California. The cultures are diverse. This place is wildly different than it used to be just 20 years ago. No longer homogenous, no longer predictable. You might live next to people that have never even heard about Jesus Christ, or they've only heard about Jesus Christ when someone's swearing. So you have this great opportunity of being able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and live cross-culturally in the very neighborhood that you live in, or in the job that you live in, or at the school that you go to, or with the friends that you have. This is your mission, to make disciples. Disciple-making is from the point of pre-evangelism, in other words, with people that don't know Jesus, to the evangelized people that receive Jesus, to the baby in Jesus Christ, the one that is just learning and being built up, to the veteran who is in the Lord and is being equipped for good work that the Lord has given to us, to the ancient ones that are being sanctified and getting ready for their final exam of meeting Jesus, perhaps this week. The whole lifespan is involved in this process of making disciples. This is who we are. We are a movement that makes disciples. We've covered this in real clear terms and in a real thorough manner in previous weeks. Like most, though, of Jesus' teachings, this is only one of several sending passages that Christ spoke to when he taught. Let's take a look at some other sending passages this morning, and let's explore their common themes and some of the objections to these passages. Because it's easy to object to just one verse in the Bible, isn't it? It's easy to say, well, that's a different context, that was a different person, that was a different thing. It's easy, but when you see it repeated in several different places, we begin to realize, wow, this is an overall teaching of Jesus Christ. This is broader than that. Wow, look at how the disciples responded to that. Oh, look at how the church responded to that. Wow, look at how everyone else kind of took this. And then we can begin to form bridges into our own culture that share with us how we ourselves are supposed to be transformed and live by the Word of God. So first, just after His resurrection, Jesus tells His followers that He is sending them out just as the Father has sent Him out. Jesus Christ said to them in John 20:21, Jesus Christ said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also am sending you. Jesus' ministry, and remember it's detailed in Luke 19, that's the lost chapter. That's not a TV show. That's actually something that Jesus came up with. There was a lost coin. There was a lost lamb. There was a lost son in that chapter. Three of the most popular parables that exist in Jesus' ministry. That Jesus' ministry, he captions it in Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save that which was lost. This was the other sending passage that Jesus, another sending passage that Jesus refers to. I am sending you the things that the Father sent me to do. I am now sending you out to do those things, as he spoke to his followers. Second, just prior, I'm on letter D. Just prior to his ascension, that's when he went back to be with his Father in heaven. Jesus commissions his followers to witness to others by proclaiming repentance for forgiveness of sins. You'll find me in Luke 24 and And it's up on the screen, just in case you're not super quick with your Bible. It'll be up on the screen. Luke 24, starting in verse 46. He said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." There's a popular sports marketing and advertising campaign that's out there for LeBron James that says, "You are all witnesses." It's kind of like that "Be Like Mike" from years ago. Some of you will remember that. We are all witnesses of what LeBron James is doing in the NBA. I got to tell you, they steal that right here from Luke 24:48. You are witnesses of what Jesus Christ has done. And what are we supposed to do with that? "Behold," Jesus Christ says, "I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You are to stay in this city until you are clothed with power from on high." So He says to His followers, His disciples, both men and women that He's speaking to, He says, "You need to stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because you are going to be my witnesses. You are my witnesses. And the work of the Father I'm putting upon you, and you are to go and do that, but not alone. You're to do it with the Holy Spirit," which He'll explain a little bit later. This is the content of our commissioning or our co-missioning. We are proclaimers. We are proclaimers of what? Are we proclaimers of nice things? Are we proclaimers of, "Hey, if you're hurting, we can make you feel better"? Are we proclaimers of just simply a social gospel that is supposed to pick you up and dust you off? No, we are proclaimers of repentance and forgiveness. We are proclaimers that have content. We have teeth. Now, do we also pick people up and dust them off and give the homeless sandwiches and blankets and jackets? Do we also take care of our neighbors? Do we also live out of compassion, even compassion to strangers? Do not the Scriptures command us to do so? Yes. Yes, we do those things. Why? For the purpose of repentance and forgiveness. We are about the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission given to us to make disciples. That mission is not an empty one just to be nice to people. It is a mission that is full of repentance and forgiveness. People will never be ultimately transformed through any other means. We may need to take care of people's needs, but it is with the purpose of having the opportunity to build bridges so that we can speak to the gospel of repentance and forgiveness from sin. Third, next page, letter E. You can turn your outlines over. Shortly thereafter, Jesus detailed the Great Commission to His disciples to actually make disciples, to make more disciples, to be disciples that make disciples, and to do so as we go, baptize, and teach in the name of the Trinity, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The central mission of any follower of Jesus is to make disciples of all lost people, represented by lost coins, represented by lost sheep, represented by the prodigal son in the book of Luke. This is what we're here to do, is make disciples of people. And as I have asked you week after week after week, how are you doing? How are you doing at making disciples? Have you given over the responsibility of making disciples to the church and decided, "I know what I'll do. I'll bring people to church and they'll make disciples of them. And I'll be made as a disciple and I'll make disciples and that'll be how it works." I've got news for you. We are a part of what we are supposed to be doing out of Scripture. The church is certainly a part of that. I'm going to talk about that more as the summer goes on. But the front lines of evangelism, the front lines of making disciples, is the responsibility of every single person who is a follower of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be His hands and feet, and blessed are those that are bringing the voice of the gospel out into the world. What goes on outside of these walls, what goes on outside of this church. This is what we are all called to do, is to make disciples, to share about Jesus, and to do so in a way that is reaching lost people. Finally, at some intermediate point, somewhere between Jesus Christ's resurrection and his ascension, Jesus tells his disciples the scope of their mission. This is the fourth and final sending passage. And he tells them that they are to spread the news about Jesus in Judea. Now, Judea was the location that they lived in. So if Jesus Christ was talking here, okay, if he was in Long Beach, let's say, and he was talking to us, he would say, I want you to spread the gospel in East Long Beach. That's where we live. Now, not East Long Beach of Snoop Dogg. Okay, that's Samaria for us. But I'm talking about this side, okay, of East Long Beach. Right here, 605, 405. A few of you bleed over into Orange County, all right, because you're richer than we are, and so you live over there. A few of you live in Rossmore, all right. Praise God. I hope you tithe. We kind of spread out in the local area. Melinda and I started in Lakewood, and some of you younger couples are living over there, but you'll migrate. You'll migrate this way eventually. Okay. That's not a criticism. I love Lakewood. You've got great restaurants. So this is our local area. This is our Judea, so to speak. This is the place that we live, that we call home. He also said that you need to go to Samaria. Samaria is close by, but cross-cultural. The other side of the traffic circle, okay? Now I know a couple of you live there, so I'm sorry. You live in Samaria. Right over there, right across the traffic circle, on that side of Long Beach, and in some of the areas that are close to us that are accessible, but you generally avoid them. You would rather drive around them. You would rather not be caught there once the sun goes down. Okay, that's Samaria. That's exactly how the Jews treated Samaria. They did not want to walk through it. They thought, that's where the enemy lives. We don't want to go there. Those people are crazy. And that kind of thing. This is the Snoop Dogg location. And for those of you that don't know who he is, he's a rap artist, and I wouldn't recommend listening to his music. There are areas like that that are near to us. Todd Grant came and spoke one Sunday about the area in Linwood, which is just, 20 or so miles from us. And that's a good example of a Samaria type of location. And we're to go there too. We're to go into Judea, our own context. Samaria, close by, cross-cultural context. And even to the ends of the land, the way that the original language phrases it, it says, go as far as the last place you can go. So go everywhere, in other words. We are to go, and they dress up the language in English, and they'll say things like, even go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Like, it's very, very flowery. But it's basically, go to the end of where you can go. All right, just keep going and go to the end of that and continue to take the message of the gospel to those places. The location of our commissioning is extensive, is it not? We are to master Judea, we are to master Samaria, and then we are to master the uttermost parts of the earth. And you happen to belong to a denomination, our partner denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, that has more churches and more members by the millions overseas than we do here in the United States because of how seriously we take that commission. We are a sending agency, along with being actively involved in our missional aspects. We are a sending agency to the uttermost parts of the earth. Whenever you give to the Great Commission, whenever you give to missions, you are enabling our missionaries to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Again, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the summer, but this is the scope of the Great Commission. These are the passages that Jesus Christ spoke to. These were his sending passages. But do you know, shockingly, I've grown up in the church, and so I've got a good idea of this. I remember when I was in junior high, and I knew as a junior higher that I wanted to be a youth pastor. And my senior pastor at our church was asking me questions about, what I was called to do, what I was gifted to do, and all those kinds of normal questions that you ask people that say that kind of thing. And he asked me, Chris, do you have the gift of evangelism? I said, the gift of evangelism? I don't know. He goes, well, do you really burn in your soul to see people one to Christ? And I said, well, I want it, but no, Not really. I'm kind of scared of actually sharing my faith with other people. Well, Chris, when you share your faith with other people, do you find that they are very responsive to you? No, definitely not. I generally can only get a few sentences out. They ask me one question and I go running. He says, well, you need to work on that. You need to develop that, because it doesn't matter who you are. You got to be actively involved in evangelism. But I got to tell you, even to this day, I feel very similarly to that. I don't feel like I'm a very effective evangelist. I don't feel this burning in my soul about it. In fact, surveys of churches, number two, letter A, from large to tiny churches, reveal that only 1 in 10 people feel gifted. Do you know that our average attendance to this church is about 300 people? Do you know what that means? 1 in 10, that means like 30 people in the whole church probably feel like they are gifted for evangelism. But here's the shocking statistic. And gifted with a passion for evangelism. Of that 10% of the population, only 10% use their gifting. This has been determined by surveys, and this is pretty common knowledge, that only 10% of the 10%, or 1 in 100, which means there's 3 of us here, all right? 3 people in a congregation of our size. Often due to a lack of evangelistic training, or they're so involved in other areas of ministries, they cannot, which demand their ministry effort, they cannot get freed up in order to do evangelism, that these are the only people in the church that actually feel gifted. Which means, in a church like ours, there are 297 of us that don't feel gifted for evangelism. And 3 of you that feel like foreigners in the midst of a crowd of really insensitive people. All right? That's how most people feel in the church. I know what that feels like, because one of my closest friends that goes to this church is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, 1 of the 3. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm not. First things first, though, before I go on with that, letter B. If you think that you might have an evangelistic gift, and what do I mean by that? A strong emotional desire to reach the lost and a strong response to your evangelistic efforts. Develop your gifting. Could I call you to that? 1 Timothy 4:14. I list 2 verses there. It says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance or through the preaching of the scriptures, and with the laying on of hands of the elders, or in this case it's called the presbytery. 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. In other words, when you don't use your gifts, they have a tendency to cool. When you don't function in the church in a way that you are really depending on the Lord, it tends to cool you off. And so Paul says, hey, kindle that up. The word is literally a blow on a fire so that it will get hot and start up a flame again. Kindle afresh the gift of God, which has been given to you. So if you suspect that you have the gift of evangelism, if you burn for this stuff, and or you find that people really respond as you're speaking, if you're part of that 9 out of 100, in other words, the 9 that are maybe doing other things, please grow in your gifting. Please develop your gifting. Please stretch into that. We as a church want to get better at helping you with training, at helping our whole church with training. But if you're like me, letter C, and you are part of the 90 out of 100 who are probably not gifted for evangelism, we are still called to evangelize. We're still called to be missional, although we are not called to lead in these areas of ministry. And what I mean by that is the people that are gifted are the ones we want in charge. The people that are gifted are the ones that are supposed to lead areas of ministry. What am I talking about? Well, there's a great list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. some of you are really familiar with this. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? He said, some of you are gifted for this, and some of you are gifted for that, and it works like a body. If everybody's an eyeball, all we do is see, but we don't get anywhere, right? Because nobody's a foot. Nobody's a leg. Nobody's like a muscle. And so if we're all an eyeball, we're useless. We see a lot, but we don't do anything. And so if everybody was a nose, we'd have great sniff for sin, but we couldn't do anything about it. Like, you know, in other words, we're a body. Different people have different functions, and those giftings allow the body, much like Jesus Christ, to function properly. And this great list of spiritual gifts is given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing. To another, the effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as the Spirit wills, or just as the Spirit sees need of. Now, this great list of spiritual gifts does not mean that those of you that don't have the spiritual gift of wisdom can be idiots. Like, you're still called to be wise in the Lord. Just because you don't have the spiritual gift of healing doesn't mean that you're off the hook for praying for the healing of other people. Just because you don't have the spiritual gift of hospitality doesn't mean you go, well, you know what, I'm not going to be nice to people. That's not my gift. That's someone else's gift. I hope you're nice. Some of you have the spiritual gift of, you know, truth and honesty. That's fantastic. You should be a leader in that area of our church. Just because you don't have the spiritual gift of truth and honesty does not mean you get to lie. You see what I'm saying? These are characteristics of all Christians. Some of us have been gifted by God to lead in these areas of the church. And that's why when you read those spiritual gifts lists, sometimes they talk about personal gifting that he gives to people, but most of the time he's speaking about offices, in other words, areas of ministry within the church. Just a few verses later, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." These are areas of ministry. These are offices. These are areas of service within the church. These are things that God just gifts His church with so that we can be about the business of doing ministry. They're areas that are going to require gifted people to lead, but all people to populate. What am I getting at? If you have ever said, like me, well, I'm really not gifted for evangelism, that's someone else's job. We need to give that over to somebody that really knows what he's doing or knows what she's saying or has some sort of burning in her soul for it. I agree with you that those are the people that we want leading evangelistic outreach at this church. I totally agree. But it does not mean that the rest of us don't do anything when it comes to evangelizing. As though, like our neighbors that don't know Jesus, wow, I wonder who's going to help them. I wonder who's going to care about that neighbor that's next to me. Maybe I should find somebody at my church that's evangelistic and invite them over to the house so that they can take care of them. And believe me, we laugh at that kind of thing, but it's exactly what we do. I remember I would bring my friends to youth group that didn't know Jesus, and I would march them up to my youth pastor and go, "Here's Joe." And then later I'd whisper to the youth pastor, "He doesn't know Jesus. If you could work something in for me, that'd be great." Can you imagine? Can you imagine if I brought my friends to you and said, "Hey, this is Joe. He doesn't know Jesus, and I'm hoping you do. Could you do something here?" You would laugh at me. You'd be like, you're a pastor. Could you come up with something? You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Could you?" Yes, yes is the answer to that. That's not a guilty question. That's a question that should empower you by the Holy Spirit to say, we are all called to this. We are all called to be witnesses. Jesus Christ was not just talking to His disciples. He was setting a tone for the whole church. And if it's any question, look at what the Apostle Paul says. Imitate me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I am following Christ. Do what I do because I am following Christ. He said it repeatedly. He used words like imitate. You don't even have to come up with it on your own. Just copy me, is what Paul said. Paul, distinctively an evangelist, clearly a missionary, had probably every single spiritual gift that is listed. He was like a walking church. Said, I want you to imitate me. While on the one hand saying, we're all gifted to do different things. There are all these offices in the church and we function like a body. Paul by himself, manifested all the spiritual gifts. We call those people, by the way, apostles in the Bible. Eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. The only people that had every spiritual gift. One of the characteristics of an apostle is that you don't get to bail out on any of the gifts. You have them all. That was a mark of being an apostle in the New Testament. Ephesians 4 is another great passage for the offices of spiritual gift. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The equipping of the saints for works of service. That's kind of a pastoral gift there. The building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of faith. The unity of faith being, as these people lead in these offices, we are unified in this faith and in these purposes. The knowledge of the Son of God to become a mature man or a mature person to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are supposed to live the same way that Jesus Christ did. And is that not what he said? Is that not what he called his disciples to? And not just his disciples. Some of those passages, he's speaking to non-disciples. He's just speaking to the crowds. It says he appeared to as many as several hundred. He's speaking to them. And he says, the Father sent me to do this, and I am now sending you. I am now sending you. These are areas of spiritual leadership as we speak about giftedness in the church, but they should not be viewed as exclusive roles. The evangelists, they just evangelize. The pastors, they just pastor. The prophets, they just prophesy. That would be a misunderstanding of the way that the New Testament is structured. In fact, could I encourage you that in any given situation, if you sense that you need the Holy Spirit to show up and you need a gift at that moment, ask for it. That's the picture of the New Testament. It's that whatever situation you are in, the Holy Spirit can provide for that. Is that the kind of dependency that you have on the Holy Spirit? A constant lifestyle of prayer. I sat down at the beach yesterday for my daughter's 13th birthday. Please pray for me. And I sat between a one lady who used to live in the area, and she was bringing down a whole bunch of kids as well, and they were all going to kind of be reconnecting. Her name was Tree. That was easy for me to remember. Another guy that was right behind us, that his name was Chris, that was convenient, brought his girlfriend down, and he was doing her birthday and invited a bunch of friends. They got 3 tickets for alcohol yesterday. Bummer for them. And then a guy over here on this side named Milan, and he was bringing his cross-country team down from Whitney, right? Whitney High School. And he had the cross-country team down there, the Frosh Soft cross-country team, and he was working with them. And I tried to make friends with each one of them. I do not feel particularly gifted. I can be friendly if I want, but I'm not particularly gifted at being an evangelist. And in each situation, I prayed to the Lord, would you please gift me to know what to say to them? Would you please help me? Would you please just give me something that I could connect with them on? There were different things that would occur during the night, and I tried to keep my mind and my soul aware of what the Lord was doing in these situations so that I would be ready if God presented the opportunity. I didn't share the gospel with anybody yesterday. I don't have some success story about leading a revival at Huntington Beach. Nothing like that happened. Like you, I don't always find that there's that kind of responsiveness to the things that I say. But I'm constantly trying to depend on God. If He chooses to gift me, I am clay in His hands. I'm not a rock. I'm not an unmoldable, like, oh, that's not what I do. That's not who I am. God made me a critical person, so I just say things that are really critical. All right? The devil has made you a critical person, and God is trying to soften you up. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we have these things that we say. We have these things that we assume. We have these ways that we think we are, and maybe our spouse has told us this stuff, or maybe our parents told us this stuff, or maybe you got dropped on your head when you were a kid. I don't know, but I do know this. Jesus Christ transforms people. He changes us. He molds us into His image. We are supposed to be soft clay in the hands of the potter, and He can do with you anything. He can recraft you, and He can gift you and miraculously equip you at any given moment to be able to share about the great news that is Jesus Christ, that God has sent, and that you have received, and that you are now witnesses of to the whole world. The very first thing that God says in that commissioning in Matthew chapter 28, it's preeminent in the verse. It's the very first thing that's there, is go. It's a participle. It's meant to communicate that as you are going, you are to make disciples. But it assumes that you're out there. It assumes that you are not in a bubble where your only friends are people that all believe in Jesus Christ. It assumes that you have non-believer contact. It assumes that you live in a world that has fallen and that you'll be going into that world. And as you go into that world, be witnesses of Jesus. Do not wait for the miracle of someone that is gifted with evangelism. Now, again, if you are gifted with evangelism, you already know that you can't keep your mouth shut. But there's nothing I could do to keep it shut anyway. So, I believe that those that are gifted, it just is spilling out of you like crazy. It's the same way that I feel as a pastor. You couldn't shut me up if you tried. I know this sounds crazy, but when I don't preach for even a couple of weeks, I miss this tremendously. I feel like God's pouring a whole bunch of stuff in, and it's just getting all stopped up. I am preacher constipated when that happens, all right? And I can't wait. Have you ever heard me give announcements when I'm not preaching? I just keep talking because I'm so excited about this family and this community that is the church. Anyway. Just because you are not gifted with wisdom, faith, healing, prophecy, all listed in the gifts, does not mean that everyone is not involved in those ministries. We are commissioned by God through Jesus Christ, to be goers and to take this message to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God He brought the uttermost parts of the earth to Long Beach. All you got to do is go outside. All you got to do is go to your neighbor. Go to your job. Go to your community. He has called us to this. To make disciples. Let's be a community that does this and that does it out of a heart that is responsive to the Lord.